Afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the program. My name is Simon Barrett, and I am joined by my excellent panel from Youngstown, Ohio, author, activist, barkeep, and snow shoveler, Sam Moffey.
Well, Simon, thank you for that rousing introduction. Actually, today we're not snow shoveling yet. It's 40 degrees. So it's hard to believe that when I wake up tomorrow morning, it's going to be negative 40 degrees. But that's what they say is going to happen.
Right. Sam, I know that you're a football fan. So I just have to share this with you. I've been working with a gentleman on a project, and New Year's Day he sent me a long email, with a list of answers to questions I had sent him, and he signed it off. Okay, more later, the bowl games are starting. Now, that would have been fine, except for the fact that he misspelled bowl. He put B-O-W-E-L.
Well, we know if he goes into a certain store in Colorado, he's not going to get a bowl of marijuana.
And from the, I'm guessing, frozen tundra of New Jersey, we're joined by my good friend Bill Conrad. How's the weather in your neck of the woods?
Oh, it kind of resembles glass out here. Everything kind of slides off the sidewalk and slides off the roads, and they promised that it would be up to 33, 35 degrees by now, and we're supposed to have 45 degree overnight, but it hasn't happened that. I think the weathermen are wrong again. A good friend of mine always says, you never know what the weathermen are lying about. It's the temperature today.
You know, I think the most fun job in the world would be to be a weatherman. You wake up in the morning and you toss a coin. You know, heads, it's going to be good weather. Tails, it's going to be bad weather.
Well, where else? Yeah. Where else can you get paid? Can you keep your salary for being right about 30-some percent of the time? I mean, think about surgeons who are right 30% of the time, or maybe the military who are right 30% of the time. You know, these guys still stay employed and get paid. This is amazing. How about working at a nuclear reactor and being right 30% of the time? Great, huh?
You're right. Anyway, on with the plot. It's been another tough week for the now not so secretive NSA. They just don't seem to be able to catch a break. On Friday, Senator Bernie Sanders sent a letter asking the NSA if they were spying on Congress. The answer was an obfuscated yes. The NSA provided a preliminary response Saturday that said Congress has, quotes, the same privacy protections as all U.S. persons. Sam, did you catch that story?
On Bernie Sanders?
Yeah.
I heard what he was asking. I didn't I didn't know exactly what he was, that it was him. I heard that, you know, he's that type of guy. You know, he's a crusty old socialist from Vermont. I think he's been a senator for, what, about 100 years?
Something like that.
So he, but that doesn't surprise me. He's pretty anti-authoritarian. So I could see him doing all that sort of stuff. And I, I think the NS, you know, Sam, I don't know if you got the picture I sent you. Bill, I think I forgot to send it to you, but it's a picture of the sprawling headquarters of NSA. I don't even know where it's located, but they must employ 5 million people by the size of their parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
How many cars are in it? How many people work there?
Well, they have two major locations. One is Fort Meade, and they've just rolled out a huge, huge facility in Utah, which is going to be, quote, a data center.
Yes. Yes.
Is that the place that you see when you see that picture at the BBC? Is that the Utah Center or Fort Meade?
Yeah, very more than likely.
It's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be like the shopping mall for spies. I mean, whatever you want. I mean, and I noticed there wasn't an empty parking spot in the lot.
Okay, you bring up an interesting comment, and I didn't actually have it on my to-do list today, but shopping mall for spies. Did you read about the shopping catalog that managed to get itself leaked? And it's, I believe, 59 pages, so it's not quite as big as a Sears catalog. But essentially, it prices out all of those vital tools that, you know, the average spy might need, you know, bits of malware, bits of special hardware, etc. Sam, did you see that?
I saw bits and pieces of it. I guess excerpts is a better word. I didn't get to read the whole thing, but who leaked it? That's the one I want to give them a. was it like it found in someone's briefcase? You know, James Bond's briefcase or Austin Powers' briefcase? You know, how to be a spy? You know, spy 101. You know, number one, don't leave your catalog somewhere where anybody can find it.
Right. Bill, did you hear about the spying on Congress or the catalog shopping story?
Yeah, I think it's such a good thing that we're spying on Congress. I'm sure that it never took place before a year or two ago, that nobody really knew what Congress was doing, and it took a long time for the NSA to reveal that they're actually doing things. I'm hoping that they'll tell us whether or not they've stayed involved and shown up for some of the meetings that they're supposed to attend. So I'm waiting for a lot of really great detail, that they're not just going to conventions and having affairs and things like that. That's just my view on it. The other thing is the catalog. You know, one of the things that I picked up was that there are some free things you can get from the catalog, and I was hoping that some of those free products were free and given to general public instead of only having to be a spy. So I kept looking for an address in which I could write to or if I could order it on the internet. I haven't found it yet. I was hoping that maybe Sam could help find this sort of thing.
There was a cartoon. It was Spy versus Spy.
Oh, I like that.
Remember that? From Mad Magazine?
Yes.
Spy
absolutely.
Versus Spy. Yeah.
And Folden's and all that stuff.
Yes. No, yeah. You know, he's dressed in white, though. Peter dresses him in black, but I dress him in white. By the way, Peter Haven, happy 39th birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Peter.
Wow. Yeah, unfortunately, the lawyering business pays better than the blog talk radio business.
Oh, no. He had to go to work because he took Stanford over Michigan State and lost a fortune. So now he has to go. He has to go work.
Right.
Get some cases.
Yeah. His
alma mater, Stanford.
He didn't want to put up with being harassed by us.
Oh, I was going to harass the hell out of him with Michigan State. I hate Michigan State.
Okay. Back to the Bernie Sanders thing. Do you think that this will stir up Congress, or are they just still far too busy infighting?
Do you want me to go first?
Sure.
Okay. Love to. I don't think they're going to be infighting that much more, Simon, because they passed that bill, as we talked about early in December, at the end of last year. So the budget's set. There's going to be no debt ceiling, no crazy things. There's going to be no government shutdown, no debt ceiling. It's all about being reelected. So will the Republicans who control Congress, Boehner, Cantor, and those guys, they're pro-NSA. So they're not going to take it on. The only ones who are going to take on the NSA are the more civil libertarian challengers, or the ones who, other people want to make it an issue, which I think only challengers can. I mean, I think someone running against an incumbent congressperson who says, look, and get that congressperson on record to say, yeah, I'm an NSA lover. I voted for all these bills. They fund the NSA. They spy on us. Matter of fact, even I can't wait for the NSA to come up with a better computer to really steal everybody's messages and nothing's safe.
Right. I know where you're going with that.
Okay.
But hold your thought.
Those people are vulnerable if Americans give a shit about the NSA. I don't think the NSA is going to be a big issue as it should be until the presidential election of 2016, because they're going to have 2 more years to spy on us and screw up things and whatnot, and until Americans finally wake up and see how they're being spied upon. I think this thing with Target was a bigger deal than a lot of people realize. I think some of these internet powerhouse guys are starting to realize, whoa, what have we done here by helping these people? And I think people see the due process as being circumvented because they're being spied upon. And I think it is a huge issue, but it's only going to be a huge issue if challengers to incumbents who support the NSA take it on.
Bill, do you have any thoughts? Do you think Congress is going to get riled up by this letter?
I'm wondering if this is going to be something that becomes an issue X amount of years from now, that people, that senators and House of Reps, that some information will be raised up about them at a later date, and they will be supporters of NSA, and when it becomes when the American people become super outraged at this, then they'll be strung out to dry, that they won't be reelected, and that people will probably turn on them. I'm sure there are senators that are concerned whether or not they should back NSA or not back NSA. I'm sure they're afraid that NSA is going to turn on them and dig deeper into their lives if they say they don't support them. And I think there's going to be all kinds of crazy scandals that are all going to come up. You know, it's sort of like Animal House where...
I want to tell you, you bring up some excellent points. Excellent point. I applaud you for that. That the NSA had stuff on some of these guys, and maybe that's why. So they got pictures of these guys with, what do they say, with live dead girls, dead little girls, and live little boys. And as the saying goes, and that's sad. But this NSA has to be blown, dismantled, and blown up. I don't know why we need it. It's a waste of money. We have what? Someone explain to me what we need NSA for when we have Homeland Security, CIA, FBI, military intelligence, police departments at every level. What do we need all this stuff for? I mean, how much is how much do Americans need to be spied upon by their own government? You know, it's bad enough.
Well,
when does it stop? And will it become an issue, Simon? I think it's a great question. I hope it becomes an issue, but Americans would rather vote on what the West, what Kane and Kim are going to name their kid.
All right. I think that there is a balance that needs to be struck. Right now, that balance isn't there. I don't believe that, you know, it's necessary to log every, phone call and text message, you know, made in the U.S. You know, even though they're, claiming, oh, we're not peeking under the skirts, you know, we don't know the content.
Bullshit, then you know they do. Look,
yeah,
I mean,
right.
It comes down to this, America. Do you want a high-tech Gestapo? If you do, then there's no stopping it. I don't. I've seen what totalitarian regimes have done. Those regimes that go throughout history that have wanted total, complete power of their people have ended up destroying those cultures, destroying themselves and whatnot, and destroying a lot of innocence in the way. I have seen, and I've been a victim of jackbooted thugs, government authority bureaucrats run amok, and I know a lot of other people who have too. And I just don't trust the government at any level, especially keeping people's secrets. I mean, who cares if they surf the porn nuts? By all means, go after child pornographers, those people who are on there. Go after the evil drug dealers, the money launderers, and they could track them. Okay, I have no problem with you tracking the bad guys, but they're tracking everyone, because to them, everyone is the bad guy. And that's the problem. Especially when you don't have to go get court orders. We have secret courts. The Constitution has to stand for something still. I don't think it does like it should, but we need to go back to that. You know, due process of law. Everybody's innocent until they're proven guilty, not guilty until they're proven innocent. And we just have to get back to that. And I hope, Simon, the original question is, will this become a big issue? Not in the midterms, but in the presidential election of 2016, I think it's going to be huge. Because I think there's a huge scandal growing with 2016, with NSA and Edwin Snowden as the key to unlock that.
Okay, I want to get on to Edward Snowden. Many years ago, well, it was probably about 7 or 8 years ago, I taught a class about the history of computers. Yeah, and one of the things I talked about was the types of computers. And without doubt, the big dog is known as a supercomputer. The NSA don't even count the number of supercomputers they have. Their computer rooms are merely measured by the acreage. Now, this week, some new documents were released by the infamous Edward Snowden that they've invested at least $80 million into developing what's called a quantum computer, specifically designed for breaking encryption. Sam, I'm guessing that's the computer you were talking about.
Yeah, Simon, thank you for you know more of that lingo than I do. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Thank you. You know, we're not talking about them trying to you sent an email to me, Simon, break the, you know, the German Nazi code, you know what I mean? we're not fighting a war here. But they've declared war on, in my opinion, on all Americans who use high technology, who use their computers, text messages and whatnot, which most of us are forced to do in our daily lives for many, many reasons. And they've declared war on us. And we're all the enemies. And I'm against the NSA. And I'm against the NSA spending $80 million when people are starving to death. I know people who are hurting. I don't know about, I'm sure with Bill, he can testify. How many Americans are going to be stuck because they don't have heat in their homes, are going to be stuck to go to shelters in the next couple of days? But we can give the NSA another $80 million to go find a computer system to spy on us more. And it can come down to what we all talk about all the time. Are our priorities to take care of our people, or are our priorities to spy and control our people? And I think the answer is, regardless of what political party is in power, their philosophy is to control the American people, not help them. And this NSA is, to me, is spook central, pun intended.
Right. Bill, $80 million, it's a drop in the bucket when you talk in terms of $15 trillion, you know, that is our debt burden. But I still believe that, you know, $80 million is a lot of money. And, you know, we could do a great deal with that as far as, you know, social services go. But no, let's build a spooky computer. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's just... it's a complete waste. It's I understand that that they're trying to work on security, but even so, something always gets leaked. And if they figure out a way to have a program that's got an algorithm that can crack all the encryptions, what happens if that gets leaked and the information goes out to non-U.S. friendly countries? Or even worse, the program itself is available to other countries. Now you're talking about having people who want to help bring America to its knees from destroying bank and hospital records and everything else about you. You know, that's the real scary thing, because the government doesn't seem to have a good way of protecting us. You know, there are, you know, they've become just as much of a threatening enemy as the people outside the United States, and that's just... I just can't believe that we're actually here, you know?
Can I ask, I'm going to send an email to Bernie Sanders after this show's over and ask him to pass a law to change the NSA's name to Skynet.
Yeah, right.
Skynet is activated. Bill, did you, are you a fan of the Terminator?
Yes.
Skynet was the name of the corporation that was invented. That's what we've got. That's what's coming, guys, Skynet. You know, the science, you know, we've seen it with 1984, everyone poo-pooed it, Isaac Asimov, all these great sci-fi writers, both in literary form and in movie form, really were onto something. You know, it just came so quickly. You know, some people could say, you know, I mean, political doublespeak's been around for a long time. It all started with Joseph Goebbels and the Nazis. You know, propaganda and, you know, and all that stuff. But, you know, these guys have all taken it, and now they just can't stop. And I do believe in 2016, when Rand Paul runs for presidency, that one of the big issues will be the defunding or the deballing of NSA and getting the American people in control of it, becoming a transparency. I mean, we have to have a transparency. We're a democracy. We have to be – it has to be – in order for it to work, it has to be transparent so people understand it and then can vote on it to support it or not. And most Americans will not support things if it means government controlling their lives. And I think one of the biggest things we can see if we flip side it is the legalization of marijuana in Colorado. that people are looking at, you know, and that's what Americans want, to have control of their own lives, to enjoy themselves. They don't mind being taxed for that, you know, and that's what they want. They don't want people spying on them. They want them out of their lives, and our government will not stop. They're obsessed with controlling our lives from the cradle to the grave, and I hope it ends and ends soon.
Okay, the marijuana debate rages. That there's one side that says this is good. We're raising taxes. Lots of green, you know, coming in to support good causes. But there's another side that says because of the high rate of taxation being employed in Colorado and the very strict growing and inventory rules, that the black market is now going to really blossom. People are going to be growing plants in their backyard, and that they'll be able to put product out on the street much cheaper than you can get at your local marijuana supermarket. Does this bother you, Sam?
No, I don't think it's. I think that's a bullshit line put up by the anti-pot people who are already passing propaganda out that 37 people have OD'd on marijuana since it was legal. Have you seen that?
No,
there's been propaganda
going
around the internet and the news. 37 people OD'd on marijuana since New Year's Day. This is the crazy. These are the drug cartel people. These are the people who are being put out of business. They're pissed off, and they're like the drug cartels, the do-good government people or whatnot that just don't want to see this happen. Now that it's happened, it's going to happen all across the country. You're talking the state of Colorado in 10 years is supposed to realize $16.4 billion in tax revenue from this. And they're going to rebuild schools, rebuild bridges, rebuild roads. And you know what else? You'll probably see less people in Colorado shooting each other because they'll be a little bit more mellower, and which would be a nice thing. And by the way, Simon and Bill, I think we should go buy a pizza franchise somewhere in Boulder. I think we'd do really well.
No, I mean, don't just stick with pizza. Yeah, I'd go for
munchies
in general.
The ultimate munchie den. I would open up the ultimate munchie bar, food bar, whatever you want to call it. Open 24 hours a day. We'll serve you. Talk about the ultimate meals on wheels. That's what I would do. Munchies on wheels, and I'd be a billionaire in a day. But that aside, I also think that it's also going to help the criminal justice system. That now all these people aren't going to be going to jail for stupid pot offenses. This and that. And that means law enforcement can really focus on the bad guys, and not on that. And I think it's a very, very good thing. I'm for the legalization of marijuana. I'm for taxing it and regulating it as prostitution. Look what gambling's done. Because let's face it, gang, we're not creating a lot of jobs out there. This is going to create some jobs. And that's good. Now, I also know that, and here's the other thing, Simon, and then I'll let Bill talk. You talked about, Joe Blow, black marketer. He's going to try and roll some dope in his backyard. It's going to be that good compared to what they can get from the super-duper growers, who, by the way, you can go in to these pot places, because I've been going online, and you can order, a Pinot Noir. If you could go in and ask the pot connoisseur, they'll go, what kind of dope you want? And they'll go, I want something that's just going to give me a slight buzz and so I can go to sleep at night, or I want something that's going to make me the munchies, or I want something that's... And they have all different brands and different prices accordingly. I don't think your guy on the street's going to be able to compete with that sort of firepower.
Maybe. But I like to watch it.
And by the way, why would you? If you could grow good pot, why wouldn't you get a license and whatnot and cash in? Why would you try to undercut everything and all that? I don't, you know, where's the incentive?
Oh, okay. I watch a rather silly program. I think it's on the Discovery Channel. It's called Moonshiners. And it's basically a bunch of hillbilly guys that, you know, go out in the backwoods and make moonshine. There's one of them that I believe now has gone legal, but it took a great deal of money to get through the red tape, you know, to do that. You know, the average moonshiner, you know, just goes out in the backwoods, brews up a couple of batches, puts them in empty milk cartons, yeah, and away he goes. There's an incentive to be on the wrong side of the law, at least in my mind.
You know, you go buy moonshine in the trunk of some dude's car who looks like a reject from Duck Dynasty. I wouldn't. I mean, you know, why would you? I mean, why would I go buy dope? First of all, who's going to go buy dope on the street in Denver and go look for that shady deal and, you know, give the guy the high sign and the guy's going to run out of the corner when it's legal? Why, you go to the corner store. It's a nice store. Have you seen these stores online? They look like the Starbucks. They're better than, you know, why wouldn't you go there and sit around with people and get high and eat pizza and watch cartoons? I mean, I don't understand. Why would you sneak out to save $2 and maybe risk getting in trouble when you need not to? Because it is legal.
Okay.
So, please answer me that.
Okay. Here we go. Everyone wants a bargain. What's going to happen when you're buying drugs or anything illegal? It usually comes word of mouth. So you're going to have a friend who knows a friend who's going to get you into this good deal, and you're going to save a few bucks off of the poshy store, the things that looks like the Barnes and Noble / Starbucks that sells pot. Well, there's an economic issue here. Unless you are well off and can pay that premium price there, you're not going to go to the premium price Starbucks for dope. You're
but
not going to go
Walmart
there.
For
you're
going to
go.
But they have the Walmart for dope too, because it's legal.
Oh,
they do.
Okay.
You can walk into the store and you can, or just like you can go to a liquor store. If I want to get Dom Perignon, I know I'm going to pay about $200 a bottle of champagne. But if you're on my budget, I'm going to get Andre Cold Duck, which is $4.99. Okay, so
why,
I am not going to go out in the street and look for Simon Moonshine guy. Because it's legal. I'm buying my champagne. It's legal. This is what I can afford. And it gives you the same thing at the pot store.
Well,
so that's what I don't understand. To save a few bucks. And it is legal, right, in Colorado. Why would I want to put myself in jeopardy trying to buy something illegal? Because to me, the ones selling the dope illegally are going to be the cops, undercover cops, just like they do for tickets around baseball and football games, looking for scalpers. I mean, that's become a big, you know, so that's what I would, why would you risk that? Now, I'm not saying, you know, look, Americans are stupid. They actually signed me to get my picture of Duck Dynasty Malo.
Okay. Yeah.
Duck Dynasty Malo. Think about that. These guys are wine connoisseurs now. Hey, Sam, would you do that duck call again? but I, you know, and I understand what you're saying, looking for a bargain. But the bargains are available because the stores are, you know, the stores are built that way. They thought about that, and I'm sure they'll get marketing. On that aspect of it, how, you know, and all, everybody's, I think it's going to drive the drug cartels out. It's going to be less violent. I think it's kind of a nice snowball effect against the bad guys. And the more states that get involved with it, and we do need, it's a cash crop, you know, and I think it's a good thing as long as it's treated like alcohol. You have to be 21 years of age to get it. Right? I think, personally, I think it should be 18 because hold on, my grandson's talking to me. He's upstairs. Almost upstairs. Yeah, go. Yeah. first of all, if you're 18, you know, my son said in the military, you know, when you're 18 years old and you get drafted and get your head blown off or have your legs blown off by an IED, you should be able to buy a beer in this country. And I agree with him on that. I think we all do. So I'm for 18 and older, you know, to get it. Now, yes, a young kid's going to get it. Yes, the people going to get it. Yeah, all that stuff's going to happen. Okay, but it's always going to happen. It'll happen if it's illegal, too.
Okay. Okay. Can I refer to something you said from a different show?
Sure.
Okay. Remember, you talked about possibly getting out of the alcohol business, right? Because there are other competing places that are able to get things for such a cheaper cost than you. You can't compete with them anymore. I see that X amount of years from now, maybe sooner than later, that you're going to have the Walmarts of these stores are going to buy up all the little guys and shut them down. And so you're going to have some kind of an underground. It's like I would rather give my money to one of my local merchants than I would be to Walmart. But if you're financially strapped, you're going to go to Walmart and buy that stuff because you're going to save 25% to 30% over the local merchants. And you're going to have an economic problem. Before you know it, the Googles are going to own the pot stores. So, you know, and the Walmarts and all the big corporations.
Well, they do now.
I'm not sure. Well, there you go. So wouldn't you rather go to your local guy who's just a no-name brand convenience store who's struggling along, who's milk may cost 20% to 30% more than at the change places because you want to give him the business. Eventually, the Walmarts are going to take over, and you're going to be in the same situation. You don't want to hear that Bill goes to Applebee's, and I don't go to all Applebee's, but I would much rather come to your bar and buy whatever is a good priced value food, whether
right.
it be
well,
wings or whether it be a
that,
hamburger,
Bill.
I want to come to you. I don't want to go to these chain places.
And I agree with you. And I would love to shop at local places, too. But
there you go.
Unfortunately, not because of you, me, or Simon, or people in the audience, the last 30, 40, 50 years, our government at every level has sold out to the Lowe's. You know, it's a government of
yep.
the corporation for the – no, wait a minute, yes. It's a government of the corporation for the corporation by the corporation. And they control the world. And Wall Street, it's all that stuff. I'll never forget, we had a company here in Youngstown, been here since like the Civil War. It's called the Stambaugh Thompson Hardware Company. I mean, it was Lowe's before Lowe's, but it was only in Mahoning County, our county, okay? It's a wonderful
okay.
central place, beautiful stores. The people got paid good money there. They got bennies and whatnot, okay? And been around for that time. Family very involved in giving money to the community, the arts, whatnot. Well, Lowe's came in, and the politicians locally couldn't prostitute themselves enough to, you know, give Lowe's a permit to open up a store here. And it put Stambaugh Thompson out of business. Whereas if I would have been, you know, not one politician stood up and said, hey, guess what, Lowe's? We're not going to give you a permit to build here because you're going to put Stambaugh Thompson out of business. But the minute, and not only did Lowe's get, they got tax abatements, they got, you know, personal property tax abatements and this and that, and that's what happened. The first time Walmart or any these corporations came into whatever state, whatever city, whatever community, and they were given tax abatements, personal property tax abatements, and all sorts of stuff, that was the beginning of the end. And the blame for that are Washington, D.C. politicians, your state capital politicians, and your local authorities. They're the ones who spread their legs and for these corporations to come in and put all these long-standing small businesses out, and no one stood up for them. And you know what's even worse? The consumers think they got a better deal, and they really didn't, because you're right. Locally, if the local mom-and-pop store was still here, the prices would be low, and more people would be working, and they'd be getting better wages. But they're not. And so there's no one to blame. You know, it's like Poco, the great cartoon, said, I've looked into the mirror, I found the enemy, and it's us. We, the American people, are the enemy. I try not to shop at Walmart or any of these other places. But once in a while, some of these other places don't have it. I have to go there because they have a monopoly on certain things.
Right. I live in a small town. Lived here for about 5 years. When I arrived, I was horrified. You know, downtown is pretty much an empty shell. You know, stores come and go on a weekly basis. And it's all because of Walmart and supermarkets. I mean, the local guy just can't compete. You know, I don't know what the solution is.
Well, and can I take it a step further, not to bounce back to the NSA? What kind of person wants to be employed by the NSA? Now, these must be really, either they're military people or they're really desperate. You know, how do you get involved in working for an organization that ethically an awful lot of people have are challenges to their ethics? I have a feeling that a lot of these government jobs where people don't really believe what they're doing, but these people are desperate and are taking jobs working for some of these places that they really don't believe in, you know? I think there's a problem, too.
These are people who should, those that want to work there should be the first people not hired. Have you noticed that? I don't know about you guys. Have you noticed the cops are walking around with a chip on their shoulders now? They don't help the people. You're the bad guy. There's a lot of people who are cops with badges who shouldn't have badges. But they do. The power mad. People who work for – it's like, you know, Bill, if you read – there's some great books written about the Nazis. Okay, and I'm not saying everyone who works for the NSA is a Nazi, but it's called Hitler's Willing Executioners, and they looked into all the minds of all these people who were mild-mannered nobodies until they became members of the Nazi Party. And they rose up through the ranks, and it was really a bunch of mental midgets running the country. They weren't the high people, and like Heinrich Himmler was a chicken farmer. People don't, nothing against chicken farmers, but you don't put a chicken farmer in. All these people had axes to grind against people. And that's what you've got going into, I believe, going into people who go into government. Once they get in, they know they circle the wagons for themselves. It's all government all the time, and they have axes to grind. The only people they can grind an axe against are the American people. I mean, who would want to work for the fucking IRS? You know, to me, that's like being. Who would want to be someone in charge of cutting off people's gas, water, and electric? I mean, why would you want to do that? But people do that, and they probably get in line to do it, and they probably get off on doing it. I'm sure there's people who work for the IRS who love ruining people's lives. And think about it, that's sad. But that's what we have. You tell me otherwise. I mean, I saw that smug son of a bitch head of the NSA after Rand Paul over the drone program. Remember, that's what started this, of course, along with Snowden. And this guy had this outfit that looked like it came from a cartoon and something from, you know, and how smug he was having to answer questions from our representatives, who I have no respect for, because a guy like this, where did we go? Well, an elected president, cabinet, they're not elected, appointed, 100 senators, 435 representatives, are totally, absolutely clueless about this organization that they're giving money to. Where did we go wrong? seriously. And then these people who work for us, we the people, they work for us. They're employed by us. They're overseen by elected people to elected office. thumb their nose at them.
Right.
So, I mean, hey, F you, give me some more money. I want to go spy on Simon, Bill, and Sam. Now this big story, and I want to click on this, this big story, oh, we got to be more secure. We have to do this. We have to do that. Hey, gang, I read the news today. Well, Al-Qaeda's back in Iraq, taking over cities now. And, you know, I mean, we're losing that war. They asked for American troops back on the ground there. Okay? So it doesn't seem like the NSA is doing this wonderful, great job and our government military and this and that. This whole war that we got into, we're going to get dragged back into it again.
Right. Well, you know, really this hits to the crux of the matter. If the NSA is so damn good, you know, and they can monitor, you know, all of our phone calls, you know, why the hell can't they stop what's going on in Iraq, Afghanistan, and the rest of the world? And, you know, please don't give me the... these guys don't talk online. Yes, they do. They all have stinking cell phones.
They communicate by carrier pigeon.
Right.
Well, it makes you wonder how bad they are. How long did the NSA's been around since the 70s. They've been on steroids since 9/11, okay? And Bin Laden,
right.
It took 10 years to find Bin Laden.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, something's not right, gang. But boy, they can find out all this other stuff. That's why I said when Snowden supposedly has millions and millions of more documents, and that's what's going to be the beginning of the end of this incredibly, to me, illegal, immoral government overreach.
Okay, the New York Times and the Guardian this week both published op-ed pieces about how that there should be clemency for Snowden. I'd love to get your opinion. Bill, I'll start with you.
Wow. That's a really, really tough. That's a really, really tough issue, because why I don't agree with how Snowden did what he did, he obviously, it seems like he's just trying to bring America to understand that we're just giving up too many rights. If he's legit. He's obviously hiding out because there's a price on his head. Clemency, I don't know. It almost seems like he should be involved negotiating for how to curb the unlimited access to watch over us, and bearing all the other things that are going on politically in the rest of the world. You know, again, the focus of the NSA really needs to be about protecting America instead of just taking away our rights. So I know it's not really much of an answer there, but I don't know if the clemency is the right thing. You know, there needs to be some sort of a group of people who can figure out how to make the focus of the NSA be better on protecting the United States instead of taking away our rights. My opinion.
Right, and on the subject of Snowden, you sent me an interesting email earlier today. One that I found, you know, to be truly, truly illuminating. Would you like to give us the thumbnail sketch?
Sure. I have an acquaintance that I met this past spring, and I had shared about my participation on your show, And I said, we talk everything, anything that comes up, whether it be about guns for the blind and Snowden and other things. And I was really surprised to hear that, let's see if I can quote him. It's interesting and useful that you're taking part in the talk show on the internet. My attitude to Snowden, sharply negative. He's a traitor. On the place of our government, I would pass it in the United States to have him for a long jail time. Snowden and those who support it do not want to understand that any total listening is necessary to fight terror. Again, this is translation from Russian, but I was really surprised that his view of him is a traitor, especially living in Russia.
Let's get the rest of the story. This gentleman is a professor in a Moscow university.
That's correct. He's an advocate for people who are having problems paying their utility bills. He's involved in advising the Russia on what they need to look for as far as the economic turns, what kind of things that they need to invest in and to guide citizens into going into certain kinds of careers that are good for the economy. He's very involved in his neighborhood, and he's very involved in the education of young minds. So it isn't like he's just a Joe Schmo off the street.
Right.
Can we get him on the show?
I don't know.
Maybe we should try.
But he thinks Snowden's a traitor. Simon, breaking news. Charges 127-10.
I know. I was watching it.
Oh, that's why there were some brief moments of you did not say anything.
But Sam, what Bill just said, I found very interesting. You would think that a Russian would be gleeful that they had Snowden.
Well, I don't view Russians like the 1950s anymore. You know, I mean, to me, it's the world's a different place. It's not the Cold War. Cold War's long dead over, been dead. So I think I admire that Russian being able to have that opportunity not to take the quote-unquote communist hardline, the red hammer and sickle thing. I think it's great that this guy, first of all, that anybody's an advocate for helping people get energy bill, I'm all for. I don't care what country they live in. I think everybody, no one should have their utilities cut off anytime, any place, anywhere. That's a big one with me. But anyway, I think it's great that he sees that. Obviously, I think he's wrong, but that doesn't mean everything else he seemed that you said about him, he seemed to be right about. So 9 out of 10 isn't too bad.
What bit is he wrong on?
The what?
You said 9 out of 10. What's the bit that
he's wrong on? Snowden's not. He thinks Snowden's a traitor. I don't. I get you right, or did I get that wrong?
No, that's correct.
Right, he thinks Snowden's a traitor, and Bob doesn't like the fact that they're living on his ruble. And I understand.
And the question is how much is filtered from him in Russia? You know, because there's probably stuff that's filtered, so it just views that he's leaving the United States vulnerable as a power, and that would appear to be a traitor, right?
Do you really think, does anybody, I don't believe there's going to be a missile-to-missile World War III type thing coming. I just don't believe that anymore. Maybe that stopped the Cuban Missile Crisis. It would have happened already with all the crises we we had. Yes, terrorism is a problem. But the way we fight wars now, it's going to be through technology. It's going to be surgical strikes and this and that. There's going to be no, we launch 500 missiles, they launch 500 missiles, because there'll be nothing to take over. What good is war if you can't win and conquer and enslave and steal? There's nothing to take. You know, mutually assured destruction works, my opinion, okay? I may be wrong. But, you know, so why? What are we vulnerable to, okay? We're vulnerable to the only thing that if Snowden has made us vulnerable, he's made the American people more aware, maybe, that our government is bad and needs to be changed. In that case, we are vulnerable. If we're vulnerable to an attack by a superpower, another, the Russians or the Chinese, I don't see that happening. Because that means you've got to line up the troops. And I don't think anybody wants to go to a war because of mutually assured destruction. And that's why everyone, you know, and that's why, if you look at what's happened and why we pulled out of Iraq and Afghanistan, no, as my son said when he was in Iraq, the minute we leave, World War III takes up place only in Iraq. All those religious sects hate each other, and the minute America's out of there, they're all going to start killing each other until the last one left will then put a dictator, and the guy will call himself, Sheikh Djibouti, and we'll be back where they started from again, and that's what they want. And lo and behold, today, what's happening? Al-Qaeda and the Sunnis are now in control of some cities there, and they're plunging themselves into civil war. And
isn't it also true that civilian deaths are now at their highest point, ever?
Yeah. I think they're at the highest point since the surge when Bush sent in right before the 2008 election or during it. When McCain got the go puff his chest out and put more American troops in action and look presidential in doing it, that they we put a surge back in of American troops, and that, I think that was 08. Yeah, they're up. They're up all over the place in that area because we pulled out, rightfully so, and we pulled all our resources out. It's obvious that even though we dressed up these tin soldiers in Iraq and made them, and we trained them, and we call them the Iraqi army or the Iraqi police forces or whatnot, they're not capable of beating back rebels, and they're going to fall. It's obvious. Without American support there, or probably British support and the West support there, these propped up, these tinhorn prime ministers are going to fall. And Iraq will soon be like Lebanon, and here we go again, like Egypt and Libya and everywhere else. Who's in control? Who's got the button? And Syria is another. We got all these situations, but for the gentleman from Bill's Russian friend to say that, either if he thinks that we're going to fall, I can't see us slugging it out with Russia or China. I don't think they see us. They want to do that either. If they want to take us down, they want to do it in other ways, such as devaluating the dollar and do things of that nature, economically from within. But if this gentleman is saying, hey, Americans are now going to overthrow their government because they see how bad they've been, now it's not a free society as they say it is, that's not such a bad thing in my idea. And he could be right about that. Then again, is Russia still run by Pravda-like? Are they only given so much information? And maybe Snowden's been... I can't believe that, though, because they granted Snowden asylum. So why would the Russian media make Snowden a bad guy? Can you answer me? I don't read Russian papers or any of that stuff. I know they got their own headaches. They've got the suicide bombers all over the place. And if anybody thinks this Olympics is going to get off scot-free, I got a building in downtown Youngstown to sell you. I mean, telegraphing a punch. Who knows, those extremists over there? Wow. I wouldn't want to be going over. Hey, Simon, Bill, when did Stalingrad cease to be Stalingrad and become Volograd?
I can't remember. In fact, when the first report came in of that railway station bombing. I went, Volgograd? Never heard of the place. And then I figured out, oh, Stalingrad.
I mean, I'm shocked it happened because that battle, you know, just the name of that, that was the turning point to World War II. I mean, to me,
right.
Stalingrad, you said, Stalingrad, I know exactly what happened. It was in the history books. It was an incredible moment where the Red Army and the people there, you know, turned back the Nazis and, you know, it was the beginning of the end of the Nazis. But, you know, it's a huge thing. And how the hell when did they change that name? Jeez. Uncle Joe must be turning over in his mausoleum.
Right. I'm guessing, but it's no more than a guess, that it happened after the collapse of the USSR.
Good guess. That makes sense to me. And it's good,
yeah.
You know what the other interesting thing was? It's not like the Olympics are held in that town. They're like 700 miles away.
400.
Or the 400, excuse me. I mean, that's a hop, skip, and a jump. you know, and I thought that was interesting. But is that the only nearest big city or something? But I think that, you know, we're going to start seeing a lot more. The world becomes so unstable, so angry. Look what's going on in Central America. The Sudan's all over again. The Central African Republic. I mean, there's more and more killings, government overthrows, maimings. Lebanon's had a shitload of assassinations lately. I don't know if people have been following that. Everyone's forgot about Syria. They've been dropping bombs on each other left and right. There's no end in sight there. I mean, I can't imagine what the refugee problem is like around the whole world. It's got to be incredible, a bad situation for refugees.
Well, yeah, and don't forget South Sudan.
Right. I mean, it's just got to be terrible. And Libya, I mean, you know, where's the UN? I mean, you know what they're supposed to do and raise, you know, get some money over there and help these people out. And, you know, and it goes back to, where's the humanitarian aid? You know, we're spending all this money on the $80 million on the NSA. Well, sure, I'd like the $80 million to be in helping Americans out. But, you know, there's enough money to, you know, we got to, I can't imagine what the UN's probably asking the United States for $1 billion, because it takes $1 billion and then has to give that $1 billion to give aid to people in all these war-torn places, and the American people bellying up to the bar again, once again, but never getting any of the benefits of it. So the American taxpayers pay up through the nose for all these good things, but none of it ever trickles back to the Americans. And that's the sad thing.
Right. And that's what bothers me. And it's bothered me for years. You know, I hear about, you know, all this great humanitarian stuff. And you know, the very next news item, you know, is, you know, how people are starving at home. Yeah, and I go, well,
yeah.
Hey, you know, why don't you spend your dollar here rather than over there, where mostly they don't like us anyway? Yeah, good example. Well, I'm not saying they don't like us, but I mean, great example was the Japan tsunami situation. Japan has pots and pots of money, but we still plowed in a bunch to help. I don't recall Japan sending us any cash, you know, to help with Katrina or you know, that storm that hit the East Coast. Do you, Sam?
No, I think it. Look, you know, we can keep going. Let's talk about the return on the investment. Anybody check out? Go Google Earth Haiti, people. It looks like the earthquake hit yesterday. And how much money did we spend on that? Not just us, the whole world. And American people, not just American government. Remember Bill Clinton and George Bush getting money and tons of money went there. It looks terrible. Go Google Earth it. I dare you to. It's a joke. We continue to. Where does all this money go? And it's great that Americans, like I said, belly up to the bar all the time for these things, but they don't get any return. All this money never gets to where it's supposed to go. And you're right. No one helps us out. Of course, we can't help ourselves out either. Remember, hey, Brown, you're doing a good job between the right and the Butcher's thing. And there's still parts of Staten Island that Chris Christie and Obama didn't fix yet. I thought they fixed it the day before the election. But there's still parts of that are still destroyed. And it does take time to fix all this stuff. And, I'm amazed. I've always wondered, you hear the horror story of the red tape. The red tape that Americans have to, we're going to make government aid available for you to fix your house that was destroyed. And then you hear these people never get the money. And I'm wondering, does that happen when we send cash over to Haiti? We send over $1 billion. Is that why these people's huts haven't been repaired? There's government red tape over there, too? I don't know. I mean, you always hear the horror stuff. People still in New Orleans. What is that, 8 years later, 10 years later, still haven't been made whole. But they're still waiting for, still living in FEMA trailers.
Yeah. Most of which have a formaldehyde problem.
Yeah, right. And of course, we don't see MSNBC doing a follow-up on that. Instead, they do another foot-in-the-mouth disease by insulting Mitt Romney's grandson.
Oh, that was a classic.
That's a Saturday Night Live skit. That's what that is.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely funny Saturday Night Live skit. Not for a mainstream political talk show host, because what would have happened if that would have been on Fox News or CNN or any other station if the colors would have been reversed? That person would have been gonzo.
Oh, yes.
Agreed? Now, she apologized, and Romney accepted the apology, but, I don't understand where, okay, we all remember Jimmy the Greek Snyder, Earl Butts, and all these people. These people were saying jokes before politically correctness was on top of us like it is now. They were fired instantaneously. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it, and I think we talked about this with Duck Dynasty over the last couple of weeks. Why is this woman still a talk show host on MSNBC?
Well, because she said she was sorry.
Well, John Wayne Gacy said he was sorry, too.
Right.
I don't understand it. Why hasn't she been fired? MSNBC, and it's going to kill themselves. They're just so stupid because they allow that to happen. And it's okay for them to rip Republicans, and it's okay for them to rip conservatives and all that. But whoa, then again, as my wife said, they pay Al Sharpton money. I said, oh, you're right. You're right. How stupid of me. I can't stand double standards, regardless of what side it is. And remember, we talked about Duck Dynasty. Well, Bill, the next day, last Monday, a week ago tomorrow, I was in our supermarket chain here, and lo and behold, we talked about the merchandising, I saw Duck Dynasty Malow, and I couldn't wait, snapped a picture, sent it to Simon, and said, Duck Dynasty Malow? But that's what it's all about, the money. I mean, Duck Dynasty, what's next? Duck Dynasty Champagne. Duck Dynasty, bras. Duck Dynasty, and that's what it's all about, merchandising.
I don't know if it's available here, so the joke might go amiss.
So you drink it and you want to make a duck call? Is that what happens?
No. In Canada, there's a brand of really cheap sparkling plonk called Duck oh, baby duck. So, you know, assuming you know, it hasn't been trademarked yet here, you could have Baby Duck Dynasty, sparkling wine. It's a sobering thought, isn't it?
Pun intended.
Absolutely. Hey, there's a couple of other items that I wanted to touch upon. Benghazi, the gift that keeps on giving. Did either of you read the New York Times piece? Their in-depth, report. Yeah, I'm going to tell you.
Nope, I didn't.
Nope.
Okay. I actually sent the link off to my super secret source, who knows more about this subject than should be legal, and his response was, what, blatant propaganda? Mind-blowing. See below for an answer. And the Washington Times actually published a fairly lengthy article calling the New York Times report journalistic malpractice. Which I rather enjoyed. But Benghazi just seems to be a situation that refuses to go away. And yet, neither the Democrats nor the Republicans really, really want to sink their teeth into it. Why is that, Sam?
Until Hillary Clinton makes her announcement. Then you'll see it. So that's it. No one wants to piss off Hillary. That's why no Democrats will make. No Democrats are going to make an announcement because they can't. Once again, when it comes to Benghazi, the emperor and empress have new clothes, and that's Obama and Hillary, and it sinks them. I think it's terrible that we don't. Again, with NSA, with all this great, wonderful technology and money and brain power and this, that, how come we don't know what really happened? Again, to live in a democracy, it has to be totally transparent, and we're not. And, you know, the more they hide and cover up and demonize, deflect, and deny it, the more you know there's a cover-up. The New York Times should be investigating, not whitewashing it. Unfortunately, that's what they do. They're the MSNBC of print, and it shows in their sales, and it shows in their advertising revenues going down. And heck, if it wasn't for the New York Times theater and arts and movie review and book reviews, I think it'd be out of business in the fashion industry there with the ads. But it's sad. You know, I mean, it's sad. You know, the Washington Times on the other side, people say, is a right-winger thing. And that's why one, you know, and I caution everybody in the audience, and you guys always tell me and whatnot, you need to listen to shows like ours. You need to get out there, and you need to read, and you need to write, and you need to surf the net. And that's why the NSA is out there to get us, because the more educated we get, and the more we can reach out, and I can read the BBC, the Jerusalem Post, I can read, I can Google Earth what's going on and things of that nature. Well, that makes me more educated. And the more educated I get, the more dangerous I get. And that's what I want to be. I want all Americans out there to be as dangerous as they can be, and that means to be as educated as they can be, and that means as smarter as they can be, because that's what's going to happen in order to change this society, and the best place to do it is right at your fingertips or on your cell phones, and you can communicate with people and tell them what's going on, you know, and point out the phonyisms and the of that. But unfortunately, most Americans are not. You know, they're really not. They more. I mean, I know Americans. I could ask right now, what's the drafting order of the NFL next year? They could tell me that. Then I go, by the way, who are your two United States senators? And they'd have to get back to me.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and that's the sad thing. Or they can tell, I don't even know what Duck Dynasty's main guys are. And they can tell me who Duck Dynasty's names are, or this and that. Or I thought what the Kardashians are up to, or this or that. They can tell you all that stuff. And that's why, that's why we're in trouble, gang. Until Americans have to become dangerous minds, dangerous thinkers again, so we can take back this country, and have to be done in an intellectually way and educate people. It's tough to do that when they have the attention span of a 4-year-old.
Indeed. Bill, you and I were talking off air. There's this delightful story about people being stuck in Antarctica. as far as I can tell, there's this research ship that had 72 people on it that managed to get stuck in the ice. So a Chinese icebreaker, a French icebreaker, and I believe an Australian icebreaker were sent to free this ship. The ice was so thick that they couldn't reach the vessel, so the Chinese icebreaker that just happened to have a helicopter on it rescued all but 20 people from the research vessel, and the 20 were needed on board to basically keep it running. Well, now the Chinese icebreaker is indeed stuck in the ice. I think the French icebreaker made a run for it, but the Australian icebreaker is now also stuck in the ice. It's reckoned that so far this fun adventure searching for penguins has cost more than $400,000. Bill, bring us up to date. What's going on?
Well, I think you pretty much covered it all, but the last piece of it is that there were scientists on this trip, and the scientists have devastating news that global warming is worse than they thought, except they're stuck in the ice and all this frozen tundra trying to get home to report to us to tell us how bad global warming is. So that's, what do you do with something like that? Because they can't get home because it's too cold. I don't know. I'm not supposed to be cynical about something like this, but it's too cold for them to go on to tell us how warm it is. I don't know.
And Sam, the icing on the cake, a U.S. Coast Guard icebreaker is now en route to try and break up some of the ice. And God only knows how much that
cost. Oh, by the way,
the
name of that ship is the SS Al Gore.
Right.
Bill, you just summed it up. I couldn't, absolutely. I'm going to throw something out here for you global warming freakos. I'm not a scientist at all. I'm just trying to do things common sense-wise, and maybe that's why I get in trouble a lot. Would global warming be such a bad thing? And if right now, how many people are going to freeze to death in the next 2 days? Okay? If we had warmer weather, wouldn't around the world, wouldn't that be more crops? And wouldn't that be putting people, wouldn't we have more of a growing season to feed the 6 billion people on this planet? Wouldn't we have less fossil fuels being used to help? That would, if it's not as cold out, there's less fossil fuels being used, and therefore we're not being polluted more. Do you follow with my logic where I'm going with this?
Okay, yeah,
I'm not trying to be cute or anything. I'm just trying to be logical.
Okay,
is global warming a bad thing? You know, someone says, hey, a friend of mine, when I posed it to my friend, he said, Sam, if I had a house on the ocean, I'd punch you in the nose. But I don't, so I don't care. Because obviously waters are going to rise, you know. But on the same token, I'd rather, I don't know. Is it such a bad thing? I mean, is it part of nature? That's what happened. We had an ice age 20 billion years ago, and maybe now we go back to a warm age. Maybe that's how Mother Nature works.
Well, I personally don't like the term global warming. But if you look back, recent years, we do seem to have a great deal of unusual weather. You know, some of it's good, some of it is bad. And serious storms seem to be more the norm than the exception. You must have noticed that.
Well, I noticed, yes. I noticed this last year we hardly had any hurricanes. Was that just a cycle we went through for 10 years? Or 5 years or 4 years? Remember you're right. About 5-6 years ago, Florida had a hurricane every day, it seemed like. And then it seemed like Hurricane Sandy was the coup de grace. But since then, we've had some storms. But, not like it was. Boom, 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 boom. And maybe it's just like, we haven't had a major earthquake in years. We had the tsunami. And you're right. They are, when they come, they seem bigger and badder. But I'm just wondering, is that because of the Weather Channel, because of the 24/7 newscast, and our media is right there? It happens in if a hurricane happens down in Jacksonville, Florida, it's like it's in my living room. I can see everything that's going on. And maybe it was before, you just read about it in the paper and people went about, they cleaned up after they cleaned up the mess and they went about their business. Now it becomes the Weather Channel Thursday, there was a 5-inch snowstorm hitting New York City and the new mayor had 500 people behind him, a sign interpreter, and everything else, that New York City had 2,000 snowplows ready to go. I mean, why is that major news? We've got a fucking snowstorm coming with 5 inches of snow. So what? Grow up. Stop being a wuss.
All right.
That's part of the problem.
How about the huge cyclone that hit the Philippines?
When did that happen?
This year.
But look, Mother Nature's gonna, I don't think does it have to do something with global warming? You may be right, and maybe that's something you have to put up with, but I'm gonna tell you something, over the next 48 hours, America's not gonna be thinking about, everyone's gonna have Al Gore on the dartboard and throwing stuff at him. Well, I'm gonna burn his DVD of if it's an inconvenient thing to keep warm. the weather that we have coming, the last time it happened was 1990s, it was that cold. In 1978, the blizzard of 78, Bill, where did you live in 78?
Illinois.
So you got hit too. I lived here in Ohio. I was in college. I was in Springfield, Ohio, Wittenberg. Simon, where were you? 1978.
Oh, I was in the UK.
It was the worst one of all time. I mean, it was terrible. I mean, it snowed nonstop. And it was incredible. And then 4 years later, matter of fact, today, Simon, today is the 32nd anniversary of San Diego playing Cincinnati in a game that was so cold. I didn't even know how they played. I was at Wittenberg. It was my senior year. Same sort of thing, and the Chargers won. Cincinnati won that year, and it was so cold. And that was in 1933. So it happened. It's not like it's never happened before. As a matter of fact, one might be able to say these giant storms come and go every 20, 30 years. Has anybody looked into that? You know, we should be ready for that and go back and do all that sort of stuff. Again, I'm not a scientist. I just try to use logic. I'd rather be living in a warmer temperature than a 40 degree below zero temperature.
I'm in agreement with you. One more question or one more thing I would like to talk about. Bill sent me a delightful teaser. I have heard about this in, earlier stories. You saw a news story this morning involving illegal immigrants?
It actually, the more I researched it, I found that it was something from May of a few years ago. It's about Catherine Figueroa. And her parents were deported. They were working in a car wash. They came in and raided the place and sent her parents back to Mexico, but they left her as an abandoned child in Arizona to get reconnected up with some of her other relatives so that she would not be homeless. And it kind of brought to light that this is the kind of thing that's taking place where the parents get deported and the kids are left behind in the cities without any parents, without anyone adult to take care of them. And that's the way we seem to be addressing the illegal immigrants. Whereas my understanding is that her parents had tried so hard to become legal, but due to the change of the rules and the quotas on people becoming Americans, they're not very high on the list. What do you do?
Yeah, this is a story that I've heard various times over the years. You have illegal aliens, they work hard, they have baby. Baby is born on U.S. soil, so baby is automatically a U.S. citizen, and bust the parents and chuck the parents out. What happens to the child? Sam, you have to admit that there's something badly broken with our immigration policy, and I think this sums it up quite well.
Yeah, absolutely. It shocks me. Nothing shocks me anymore. You know, it just pisses you off. You know, I just get pissed off. Like I said, if the Schultz government can't take care of anything, would screw up a wet dream. Because everybody is, they're just terrible. What you just said, that's horrible. Wrench the parents away, they're thrown in a jail in Mexico, wherever they were from. Luckily, she had someone to live with, or she'd be homeless, probably become a sex slave for somebody or something of that nature. And it's a travesty, you know. I'm a guy. Look, my great-great-great grandparents came over from Holland and Russia and England from way back when, right after the Revolutionary War, okay? So we were on the bottom of the boat, okay? I mean, that's where we came from. But they came over. So we've been over here for a long, long time, right? But one of the greatest things I've ever done is take my kids to the Statue of Liberty and show them Ellis Island, where this country welcomed everybody to come here. Give us your, for a better life. You know, and we are a nation of immigrants. You know, you can't find a country that already had people living in it, right?
Right.
So this nature of these do-gooders who say we have to have immigration and this and that, they can go, they can all take a long walk off a short pier. The Native Americans were the first ones here. They founded this country. They helped us. They let us in. We're all immigrants in this country. And we should be doing anything we possibly can to give everybody the right to come here and try to make a better life. Because when I look around the world, you know, it as bad as things are around here, and they're terrible, it's better than in most places in the world. And we should be doing anything we can to bring people here who want to work, want to make a better life. What's so bad about that? Is that an evil thing to want to leave a crappy country and crappy situation and come here? And these are the people working 60 hours a day, cleaning out toilets, living tenant in a room to make things happen. And, you know, we all know the story. They're the ones doing the job that Americans don't want to do anymore because we've become lazy candy asses. And I just think, you know, for a nation that was founded by immigrants to straight arm everybody else away, to rip families apart like that, that's a travesty. And I hope someday somebody gets it right. And I'm sick and tired of hearing people, let's build a wall around America. You know, let's build a wall around us. Well, you know, we don't have a problem with people from Canada sneaking in. Gee, why is that? Maybe it's because people in Canada, it's a better one country, things are better up there, and, you know, of that nature. But, you know, people are coming from Mexico over here because things suck in Mexico. You know, if things suck in America and things are great in Mexico, we may be going down there someday. As a matter of fact, we did. It was called Texas. Where do you think Sam Houston came from? He was stuck in Mexico, didn't he?
Right,
didn't he? Didn't Davy Crockett sneak into Mexico?
and the same with California, by the way.
Right.
Yeah, right. Okay, gentlemen, I'm looking at the clock, and we're flat out of time. Bill, would you like to give us your parting thoughts for the day?
I really, really hope that the issues with Snowden and everything that he has broken as far as laws and security is really the bottom line, that there's no other hidden agenda, that perhaps the federal government was just practicing on taking away our rights as a practice scenario for the rest of the world. That, you know, I'm hoping that we get to the bottom of this, and we get so that we get our freedoms restored unto the American public. That's my hope for this year.
And Sam?
Happy New Year, everybody. It's been great. I'm looking forward to more and more. Great conversation today. Bill, you were great. Simon, great hosting as usual. Happy New Year. We've got a lot to do. This is going to be this year is going to be a big one at the NSA. We're just scratching the surface of that. And I know, Bill, you and I disagree on this, but I think when Snowden, more and more stuff comes out, you're going to be shocked, and you're going to then come on my side and realize this guy is an American hero, and it's going to be a great thing the day we get to blow up the NSA. That is going to be the next shot heard across the world is going to be the NSA being dismantled.
Gentlemen. Gentlemen, it has been wonderful. I want to thank you both for taking part today. And hopefully you'll both be back next week.
Simon, are you going to be the guest? Are you going to get a guest host? Because the Chargers are playing at 4:15 on Sunday against the Patriots.
trust me. I'll be watching it on the computer. And on that note, the 49ers are leading 6-0 in the ice bowl.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Till next week, gentlemen.
Y'all have a great week.
And you. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.